of promises yesterday as Prime Minister Carney was in Saskatoon meeting the premiers and all in discussion of strengthening Canada's economy, eliminating interprovincial trade barriers, and so much more to get it all done. As the premiers walked in, Premier Doug Ford serenaded everyone.
Love is in the air.
So I thought I'd bring in our judge now to assess his singing, at least, our senior reporter, Lisa Schick, who was in Saskatoon for the meetings. Lisa, how do you do?
Well, his singing was all right. What I preferred is when he compared the Prime Minister to Santa Claus. When he was coming with a big sleigh full of toys, and then he's going to go back home and see what he can do.
He did say that 6 hours after all those meetings. You were there in Saskatoon, and what was the overall messaging our premiers and others wanted Carney to know?
The overall message, honestly, coming out of those meetings was everybody is really positive about how this is going. All of the premiers are coming out saying, you know, we're excited about the possibility of some of these projects. We're excited about Premier Danielle Smith talking about the immediate change of tone with the new federal government. Just a lot of positive talk around that table.
Yeah, and everyone seemed chummy going in and chummy coming out as well, too. What was it like? Like, this was a national headline yesterday, and you were there to cover it. It must have been packed, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Like, when you look at the video, it just kind of looks like, you know, an empty room with a big, long table and 14 people. But what you don't see is the other side of that room where it's standing room only, kind of you get your elbows up to get from one end to the other, filled with reporters.
Senior reporter Lisa Schick. Now, let's focus a little more on our premier, Scott Moe. His messaging was what?
I mean, he was talking about things being really positive as well. But what struck me about what they were talking about was this Western trade corridor. It came up a few times in a few different answers, obviously very positively by Premier Scott Moe. Talking about, you know, this could be a generational opportunity for the country. Now, of course, this is a trade corridor that the Western and Northern premiers talked about just recently in their meeting. It would go from kind of northeastern BC all the way to Port of Churchill in Manitoba and then possibly up into the Arctic, because obviously those trade routes are getting opened up as well. And they're talking about, you know, this could be a way to get more product to Asia. This could be a way to get more product to Europe, and doing that work to kind of be less reliant on the U.S. when it comes to trade.
So what happens next? As you said, everyone left happy and waiting for Santa, I guess, to show up with what?
I guess that's the question, right? Some of us were hoping, expecting that there was going to be a kind of a list of those nation-building projects that they were going to start working toward, that the federal legislation that's going to be coming down will be able to be worked on. We didn't get a list, but they're saying, you know, some things will come on, some things will drop off. It's just working toward those things.
I did hear, though, and this was encouraging to our ag community, it does sound like Moe and Carney are both working to remove Chinese tariffs, right, on Canadian agriculture and, of course, seafood products, right?
Yes, you know, there was a question about that, and the Prime Minister was asked, you know, are you willing to get rid of those tariffs on Chinese EVs, which is kind of the impetus for those tariffs on Canadian agri-food products from China. He didn't say whether or not. He just kind of said, you know, our ministers are engaging with China. We're trying to figure this out. And then Premier Moe obviously agreed, saying that is how this is going to be figured out.
Okay. Senior reporter Lisa Schick from Saskatoon yesterday as the Prime Minister met with all the premiers. Appreciate the update, Lisa. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Well, you heard the boys there from the Green Show. Yeah, one more sleep till the Stanley Cup and the quest for the Canadian team to win the Holy Grail for the first time since the Canadians last did it in 1993, a time where if you looked back in 1993, number one song for the 18th straight week.
We'll always love you.
Whitney Houston. Jurassic Park was out. 1993, the World Wide Web introduced to us all, and oh yeah, I don't miss that at all. Hey, when the Canadians last won the Stanley Cup in 1993, that was the same year the Florida Panthers actually entered the NHL for the first time. Oilers defenseman Matthias Ekholm, who returned last game, commented on how he feels this cup run is going to be a lot different than it was last time around with the Panthers.
I think every season's different. Our makeup of the team is a bit different this year than it was last year. And I feel like we're more experienced, obviously, with that run. And not a lot of guys had been that far in the playoffs before. So just to have that and to be calm with that and a little more experienced feeling just around the locker room, it's obviously exciting to beat Dallas and to make it to the cup final, but it wasn't ecstatic of any sort.
Yeah, I do find these Oilers are way more prepared. They're healthier than they were last year. I feel that's a big plus. I know Tkachuk, Sam Bennett, Marchand are going to be real agitators for the Panthers, but Evander Kane, clearly, he's in good shape right now, and he's been known to get under the skin of Tkachuk previously, as Kane is super healthy for us. Corey Perry, familiar with the dark arts, too, if you will. So I think the Oilers match up pretty well, and they lead in point leaders. When you look at the point leaders through the conference finals, Connor McDavid was number one, 26 points. Draisaitl second, 25. Nugent Hopkins is on the list at four. Bouchard sixth. Panthers, Barkov is at seventh. He's the first Panther that shows up in the top 10. And that says a lot there from the point leaders list. The depth is heavier this time. The quest for the cup begins tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, game one. And yeah. Calling for the Oilers to win, for sure. I think it's going to be done in six, but I kind of hope five. Evan Brate and his son, they scored some tickets. That'd be cool for them to see the Stanley Cup. Hey, we're going to hear from the Bank of Canada tomorrow. There's talk of another rate cut, but when you really analyze a lot of the economists, they all seem to think it's probably going to hold steady at what it is right now, and it's to be determined tomorrow morning. By this time, we should know. Red Sox heads up, play Medicine Hat tonight at Curry Field. And if your kids have ball or flag football practice tonight, likely a go. I know the last few days with the smoke, extracurricular activities have either been postponed or canceled. Today, air quality right now at 2, a low risk. It might bump up to a 4 as the wind increases, draws a little smoke, but that's a moderate risk too. So, previously, we've told you how parents of kids in band at the Regina Public School Division are worried about the program and how it might look different next year. The division is in the midst of working out next year's budget. They're looking for places to cut. Band teachers have been told cuts are coming to the program. And really, not officially has a clear plan been put forth yet. But it's a concern, and some parents pretty outspoken, along with a few teachers, too, about the possible cuts. And one outspoken person is my friend, the musical conductor of the Regina Symphony Orchestra, Mr. Gordon Girard, who joins me now for a few moments. Maestro, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Welcome again. Gordon, you were quick to share an open letter to the Regina Public School Board expressing your own concern about this. Why?
Well, you know, it's super important, obviously, for us as musicians, you know, all the musicians in the orchestra, you know, for me, but it's bigger than just musicians. You know, I know that every kid who takes music lessons is not going to be a professional musician, but what music does to help us build the next generation of good people, of good citizens, that to me is the most important part. And it always feels a bit like music and the arts is considered an extra, and I want people to think twice about that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that, because I was just even reflecting this morning how when I went to high school, we had band, and I didn't really enjoy band, but there was a moment where we were introduced to the guitar, and to this very day, I still like playing the guitar. I'm not amazing at it, I'm just adequate, and I enjoy it, so it inspires. But I would imagine, too, for you, at the Regina Symphony, there are some musicians on your stage who wouldn't be there without first being inspired in school band, would they?
Oh, absolutely. I would think, I mean, I've never taken an actual poll, but I think the majority of people, school band was a part of the journey, whether it was the introduction or whether it was, you know, they were already taking music lessons because of their parents. But school band has been a part of all of our journeys, including my own.
I love Gordon Girard's my guest from the RA show. I love how in your letter You take a moment to express how musical education enhances and literally develops a student. What sort of benefits come from it?
Well, I mean, there are so many ways in which the study of music, it helps people develop different pathways. And, you know, you talk about the way that kids learn to interact with the world around them. That, of course, includes specific things like language schools. But, you know, there are other pathways, and the ability to create music alone and more specifically together is huge. It's about social skills. It's about problem solving. It's about finding confidence. You know, I think for a lot of kids who are great at sports is a way to find confidence when you're a kid. I was not that guy. I was terrible at all of them. So music was the way for me to find my place in the world and to find a sense of self.
Cognitive skills, right, too? Like, man, when they hand you a recorder, suddenly you got to figure out how to use that thing. I'm telling you, it was difficult, but I found a way. You know, on your letter and your post on your Facebook page, you also shared a link to a petition. Now, this was started by parents, or you're endorsing it, or was it started by you? Can you clarify?
Yeah, I did not start the petition. It was started by concerned parents, and it's, I think, important for people to know in the community, you know, the school board at the government level, that there are lots of folks that are concerned about this. And so I urge people to check it out, to add their names, because I think there are more people out there that are concerned about this than maybe some folks realize.
Gordon Gerard from the Regina Symphony Orchestra into his final season. He's got a year to go before he leaves for good after 10 years. And there you are, concerned for our community. And that's one of the reasons you were a huge success for the last 10 years. And we will miss you in the end. But I know we got lots of concerts coming up here. By the way, what is the next big show for the RSO? You might as well take a moment to plug, Gordon. Come on, please.
Well, since I'm here, absolutely. We're sort of off for the summer now, actually. We finished our last concert, and so now we're back. In September, the first big concert is John Williams' Trombone Concerto and Dvorak's Seventh Symphony, September 20th. So come and join us.
And there's lots of great things, too, beyond that. And I encourage everyone to go online now and get your tickets or your season pass. Gordon, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, the next couple of weeks I'm off on vacation, and Kevin Martell will take over the chair here. Looking forward to a break. Some of you may wonder, geez, Morgan, do you love the Oilers that much, taking the whole time off for the Stanley Cup? Well, it was just timing, and I will hopefully get to a game, but no, it wasn't entirely because of the Stanley Cup, but can't wait for game one tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. And remember, Edmonton is... with home ice advantage in this series here, too. Keeping you updated on the Northern wildfire situation, pardon me, I can tell you now that there are more than 25,000 Canadians displaced in this wildfire season, and the worst hit is Manitoba. More than 17,000 have had to leave there. Hotels in Winnipeg have been freed up to accommodate guests. They've canceled conferences to allow for more people to be able to stay there. In Alberta, crews are battling 49 wildfires. And in our last update here, we've got 20 fires of our own ablaze and 9 uncontained. 10 more communities given notification to evacuate, including Air Ronge, Low Ronge. That area alone has a combined radius of about 20K of those 10 communities. So there's another 7,500 people additionally to be evacuated, on top of the 8,000 already gone. And Nina Hauchowski is a paramedic in LaRange, said it's definitely necessary to get people out
so that there's not any loss of life. And that's honestly the biggest thing, is a house can be rebuilt, but keeping the people safe is what's important.
And those in Candle Lake, now 14 kilometers away from the Shoe Fire. It's the biggest of all the fires. And they put it now like something like 22 times the size of Regina right now. Fire breaks around the resort have been established. And they're working on others, too, just to be sure. But Northerners are already making their way to Regina Hotel. Some self-evacuated, as I mentioned, and others just grabbed a bag and are on a bus out of town. And to meet those basic needs of those people who have had to hurry up and run, the Red Cross is accepting monetary donations. I know there are some communities community leaders right here in Regina who are doing what they can behind the scenes too. And our local Sikh community, I know they dropped off donations to some of those who are arriving at hotels. And again, capacity here in Regina, as far as the Hotel Association is concerned, is a lot better than we were last week with so many events on. We hardly have any rooms, but there are now rooms available for evacuees in the province working on everything together. But again, Red Cross accepts monetary donations. So a feel for all these people, but unfortunately, we don't have any heavy rain in the forecast for northern Saskatchewan either in the coming days too, which is pretty sad. Later today, Regina City Council will meet and talking about Real. Real wants a new tenant to take over the YQR distillery in the old Agribition building there. Turned out to be nothing but a drive-through when original plans had it going to be, I think it was a brew pub and bar one time, but that's up for discussion. Queen City X, by the end of the week, we're finally going to get details about what's going to happen with the fair here. Last week, I tried to get interim CEO of the Real District, Trent Fraser, on the show to talk about what happened with North American Midway Entertainment. Some of you are old enough to remember them as Conklin Shows. They're the best in the biz. But normally they would take Regina after Edmonton, and it was always a quick turnaround for them. In about 48 hours, they'd be here after leaving Edmonton and set up, ready for opening day. And some would complain, well, not all the rides were ready. They actually were, but in Saskatchewan, someone's got to inspect the rides to greenlight their safety, and that would take up the first day, too. So the process wasn't always quick. And anyhow, apparently North American Midway just said, okay, we're moving on. But why? What really happened there behind the Real District? Those are some of the questions I'm sure that'll have to be asked and be identified here as Queen City X, from what I'm hearing, is going to be a little smaller than it normally is. But maybe I'll be proved wrong on that come Friday when we find out a little more. Bank of Canada, will they give us another rate cut? I don't know. Tomorrow we'll find out. Some economists think probably not, but we'll wait and see there too.